we have to go back to 2 Kings 9:27 to be reminded that Ahaziah, the son of the queen that we're hearing about, had been murdered. He'd reigned for about a year. He wasn't a very good king, did much evil in the Lord's sight. His brother had already died before that. So it meant that his mum, possibly temporarily, had become queen, Athaliah, queen. And then quite understandably in verse 1, having found out that her son had been, well, not just died, but had been murdered, she was upset, as you would expect her to be. But not upset in the way that you would really expect her to be. She wasn't really sad. She, I think, felt that there was something that she was going to gain about that. It wasn't sort of sadness. I think it was more, right, what can I gain from this situation? I'm not too sure how long she would be reigning in the future as queen, but certainly a danger to her role as a queen or the authority of a queen would be her six grandsons who were around, because they would have had priority of accession to carry on what she was doing. So as it says, fairly coldly, that she wanted to kill her six grandchildren. Now, I find it very difficult, as some as you do, to turn my grandchildren off. And when I'm with them, I get told off more by my children than my grandchildren do. And I get told off for not telling them off, for letting them get away with things. And that's what grandparents do, isn't it? But can you imagine someone wanting her grandchildren killed? Evil wickedness that we can't really get our heads around, even on wickedness that we actually still see nowadays. Is God in control? Is it out of control? This passage reminds us that he's not. This is all his will. He knew this was going to happen. It wouldn't have been what he had planned when he created man and created the world, but he knew this would happen. And then a lady, Jehosheba, stepped in, verse 2. I think John entitled the sermon tonight, "The Lady Who Saved Christmas." And I was very intrigued by that title. Very, very intrigued until I started studying the passage. We only see her name mentioned once. Well, certainly in this passage, I didn't look up whether she's mentioned possibly in 2 Chronicles as well. And 2 Chronicles sort of follows on, or it is often gives a slightly different account of what we're reading today. So she stepped in, and it was a remarkable act that she did. She first of all kidnapped this young son. Can you imagine Princess Charlotte being kidnapped? You can't imagine. It would be almost impossible to do. And you might well ask questions, well, how was it possible? How was it was possible to kidnap, not just for a short period of time, but for six years without her mum or his mum knowing, because his mum wanted them all killed. She would have done all in her powers to find him. We don't know how, but what we do know is that nothing will get in the way of God's will. So we don't need to know how. God is in control, so it will happen. And Joash remained safe for those years. And it was a commitment. It wasn't just offering to have the grandchildren to stay for a weekend or for a week. It was 6 years. Came with her, his nurse, stayed in a bedroom. And you have to feel sorry for poor Joash. We're complaining about lockdown. He had it seemingly for 6 years. I dare say he wasn't stuck in that one bedroom for that period of time. And actually, as I was preparing this, you may think it was, you know, I planned it like this, but I'd I phoned one of our grandchildren, Esme, and when I phoned her up, she was sitting in a laundry basket, whatever they are. I've never seen one in my life, and I hope it'll stay that way. And I said, "Why are you sitting in the laundry basket?" And she said, "I'm pretending to be Moses, who was put into a basket and being rescued." And that made me think, actually, this is very much like that. Moses, who was rescued from the king who wanted all those boys all killed. And of course, we have to think of our Lord himself, who was also rescued, taken away by his parents so that King Herod wouldn't have his wicked way. And that act ensured that actually Christmas would happen. Now, it's a hypothetical. It's silly to say that, really, because if this hadn't happened, then obviously God would have planned something else to have happened instead. But it meant that the Davidic line had been continued, the line that we read of in Matthew 1, that promise that he made, that Davidic line would end up in Jesus being born and being the savior of the world. That is all tied in with the story tonight. And part of that story is a wicked lady who makes the wicked witch in the line of the Witch of the Wardrobe seem like a Snow White in comparison. But God is in control. Nothing will get in the way of his will. We'll come back, if we have time, we'll come back to that lady again later. So verse 4, 6 years move on, and it's a little bit difficult to really understand what's happening over these next few verses, but it was time for Joash to be crowned king, 6-7 years of age, we don't know exactly. And it was going to happen on the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, there were evidently a change of guard. So there were twice as many troops or guards available. Because obviously the high priest would have known that actually the lady who rescued Jehosheba was actually the wife of the high priest, interestingly. And she was related to the queen. All really weird how everything fits together. But he knew that this was a dangerous time. Anything could happen. He brought this grandchild out into the open to be crowned king for the first time in all those years. So there were lots of troops available. Verse 8 shows us that he was surrounded by troops on all sides. Shoot to kill the... or not that they had guns in those days. A bit like the President Biden, he goes everywhere and you see two or three smartly dressed people, earphones in, looking around, guns in back pockets, ready to pounce on anyone who would attack the president. So the priest was taking no chances. The ceremonial spears and shields, verse 10, were brought out of the stronghold in the temple already. For the occasion of the coronation, the crown, verse 12, was put on this young boy. And then verse 13, wouldn't you have loved to be there? I would have loved to have been there when the queen herself came out. Now, I'm imagining what might have happened. I'm making all this up. But imagine it's the Sabbath. She's surrounded by her Sunday papers. But in case in those days, it was the Saturday papers. So she may have been looking at the team notes for Jerusalem against Galilee in the local derby at football. She was possibly eating as croissants and marmalade or whatever queens have. And suddenly she heard this commotion outside. What's going on? A lot of people, a lot of sound. There were trumpeters there. William Wharton had composed Coronation of the King. It was being played by the trumpeters. What on earth was happening? She came out and she was living. There's a treason going on. Treason, she shouts. She starts to rip her clothes. What an amazing picture that would have been to have seen her reaction. This grandchild that had been striving for 6 years to get rid of, but she had no chance because she was against our Lord God Almighty, and nothing, no one, nobody, no nation can get in the way of God's will. And that should be, that should always be a tremendous, tremendous encouragement to us. And of course, nothing can get in the way of God's judgment. It will come to everyone. And it came to Athaliah fairly quickly, not there and then, maybe out of respect to her grandson. Who is that? Or it's your grandmother. We're going to kill. She was led out in verse 16. She was killed. She faced God's judgment. And then the last C, the coronation, really begins in verse 17 and 20. There's a covenant, a promise to be faithful to each other and to the Lord. A covenant is taken up, a bit like, in a sense, when we turn to Christ. It's a bit like, I think, becoming a Christian. We're making a covenant, a long life covenant to the Lord. And then we see in verses 18 that the people have taken that on board themselves, and they rush off and they want to repent themselves. They get rid of Baal and the various gods. And I think there's a challenge tonight, and it made me think that I wonder where repentance is concerned, what our reaction would be. The people were, there were Baals, there were idols being worshipped, and it had been going on for some time, but they knew enough was enough. They went out and did something about it. I think it did happen, actually, this next incident. But imagine a sex shop was being opened in town. I think there were plans a few years ago. A casino was being opened in town. A Satanist church was being opened in town. What would our reaction be? Would be as a group of Christians from Christchurch go storming out. It would be illegal to burn a place down, obviously. But would we complain? Would we write letters to our MP, the council? I think it's a challenge to take sin, to take evil seriously, and to do what we can to get rid of it. I posted two letters to the House of Lords because they're trying to, there's a bill coming up in 3 weeks' time to legalise or to make assisted suicide more easy. You've probably seen it. So I've written off to, under my request from a Christian Institute that's my little thing. I'm not storming out, but it's a step that I feel I want to make to stand up for God, to stand up with what is right and what is biblical. So let's take God's word seriously, and let's do all we can to make sure that it is uphold. It's a covenant that we have all made, really, when we became Christians. So the kidnapping has taken place, the coup has happened, the coronation. I just wanted just to mention verse 21 and the first three verses of chapter 12 as well. I apologize whoever's preaching next week. I've pinched three verses from you. You'll be able to pinch three verses from chapter 13, whoever that is. And actually, things start off well for King Joash. And they start off well because the priest Jehoiada has taught him, verse 1 of chapter 12, what was right. And for the rest of his life, Joash obeyed the Lord. But he had his, he wasn't perfect, But even Jairus did not destroy the local shrines. One of the commentators, nearly at an end, one of the commentators I read, someone a long time ago did a little bit of, not a lot of research into the kings of Israel, and he found four consecutive kings of Israel. The first one was bad, and shall we say was ungodly, that's another way of putting it, and he produced an ungodly son. The second one was ungodly, but he produced a godly son. The third was a godly king, and he produced a godly son, and the fourth was a godly father, and he produced an ungodly son. Many of us are parents, and there's no one here whose children have all become the Archbishop of Canterbury, Archbishop of Canterbury. They haven't all become a Phil Moon or a John Carter. Some of them. Maybe in your case, all of them are going on well with the Lord. But others, sadly, haven't reached that stage yet. And God can still work. You know, a godly king actually produced an ungodly son. And we see this in Scripture. So those of us who are parents, let's not beat ourselves up how our children have turned out, or our grandchildren, or our godchildren, or our nieces and nephews. What we can do is pray for them, pray that their love of the Lord might grow deeper, and pray maybe that their eyes will be open to the love of the Lord, that they may find Christ as their Saviour. And the last thing I want to say, just in conclusion, is just going back to that lady who just mentioned in verse 2, Jehosheba, who saved Christmas. She'll never know. She'll never know the role that she played. If it wasn't for her, well, dot, dot, dot. And she did it. We don't know why she did it. She was the wife of the high priest. She was one assumes she was a Christian, a godly lady. Whether she had a dream, whether she just knew that one of these grandchildren needed to be saved, we don't know. God was in that situation. And at the end of our lives, we will know. But who's to know those little acts of kindness? That regular praying that you have done for your godchildren, your nieces and nephews, your friends' children, your own children. We don't know, which is probably just as well. We don't know what has become of that. But let's continue faithfully trusting God, following him, going where he leads. And those little acts that may have not seemed very much to this lady, but who's to know what knock-on effect, what ripple effect following Christ seriously, listening, obeying his word, sharing our faith with others, living as a Christian in every aspect of our lives, who's to know what knock-on ripple effect that might have on others. So we thought about a number of things tonight, but if nothing else, let's just remember that nothing, no one, nothing, no country can ever get in the way of the will of the Lord God Almighty. Amen.